Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you had a great week. I'm JT, along with David Shurtleff, master producer, as I say every week. I don't get to say that anymore, and we'll tell you why later in the show. Welcome to Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. Great day. It's a 4th of July weekend, this beautiful Saturday. 4th of July coming up here in a couple of days, and people are getting ready, if they're not already ready, to do some barbecuing and fun. So my question to you is, of course, the 4th is time for, you know, fireworks and rodeos, parades and all that stuff, and grilling and barbecue. Do you really know what to look for on your menu items? If you're going to have burgers, if you're going to have steaks, if you're going to have chicken, whatever you're going to have, do you really know what to look for when you go into the store and what makes the quality of that? Well, we're going to tell you today. I'm privileged to have back as my guest Will Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef, who, as we speak, is doing some great parenting over in downtown Morrow. We'll explain to you people here in the city where Morrow is, if you don't know where that is. And Brent Huddleston has been a friend of the show and a friend of mine for a long time, a professional meat cutter, caterer, and all that. And this week's music, of course, being the 4th of July, we do several artists, Elton John, Toby Keith, Martina McBride, and rapping with Linda Ronstadt. So let's get going here. And Will, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeff.
No problem. No problem. You know, I get asked a lot. I think anybody who works in the food business or deals with meats and stuff gets asked this. A couple different versions of this. What's the best hamburger? And you say, well, you know, what do you like? And try to do that. And they go 80-20, 60-40, you know, 90-10. I mean, the ratios can be different. From your perspective as a president of a meat company and a cattle producer, you look at things probably from the front side of that, meaning how we use the product, how we grind it, and how we get to those ratios. So tell us a little bit about your end of this process.
Oh, my goodness. What an open door you've left me.
Yeah, in five minutes or less. So
5 minutes or less. Well, I like to stick with the 80-20 or something with a little bit. You got to have that fat to stick it together.
Yep.
You know, most of that fat, it's not going to go in your belly. It's going to cook out on the grill. It's going to cook out somewhere along the way. But you want to keep some in so that you can keep it together and it eats well.
Now, how do you do that? You know, there's been a big push on it. I know you guys have got a line of grass-fed, which always makes me chuckle because all beef or grass-fed, as far as I know. But with the grass-fed, are you not adding fat to that? Or when they make the grind in the stores, are they not adding fat to that? Because that's pretty lean stuff.
It is lean, but those are healthy cattle. Those cattle do have their own level of fat on them, just as I'm healthy. So even though you think that they're lean and runner, they're not runner thin like a deer or an elk or something like that would be without fat.
Okay. And you at Painted Hills and some of the other brands, of course, yours is my favorite brand. You're grading out most of your hanging weight carcasses at choice or above. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. All the good beef, all the fed beef is choice. And we do not get the opportunity to grade our grass-fed cattle, but we look for the best available animal to create the best eating experience we can out of a grass-fed side.
So what's the criteria? I mean, I've been around a few cows in my life, but how do you look in the pen and say, we're going to put this one in the grass-fed program and this one's going to go in the regular program or what? How do you sort those out?
Really by age. Youthful cattle, young cattle, under 30 months of age, they all qualify for the natural program, and they're worth a lot more in the commodity business today. And the heifer that's a little older that doesn't fit in that system anymore, there's much fewer of those. She's going to fit in the grass-fed side, and she's going to stay home, and she's going to look good on today's grass. We finally got some of your rain.
Good.
And the grass is looking good, and so these cattle are looking good on that, and that's our best eating experience.
How does that rate, grass-fed versus, you know, the choice program or the natural program, whatever you want to call it, sales-wise and, I guess, acceptance-wise? I mean, to me, grass-fed has been something that a bit of a promotion almost. I mean, yeah, there's some science behind it and there's some reasons behind it, but to me, it's more of a branding promotions, and it's not just with Painted Hills, it's with all these beef companies that are having to produce, quote, grass-fed beef.
Honestly, Jeff, from our point of view, it is a service we're providing our customer, the grocer. Their customer is asking for grass-fed beef, and we need to provide that service. It's about a tenth of our business,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a winner, loser, whatever. It's just something we do as a service. And most customers, there's a lot of customers who eat grass-fed beef because they believe in it, and there's a lot of customers who eat grass-fed beef, and they don't stick with it. They have a bad experience, and we need to make sure they come back to Painted Hills where they understand there's the best experience. Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Now, and I'm sure that all, you know, we were talking about burger earlier, but also in the steaks, the roasts, what have you, same type of process, same type of thought process behind putting those pieces of meat in the counter at the grocery store. I mean, you've got a, you know, choice meat, you're going to see marbling in it, grass-fed, not so much. You know, what do you what are you recommending to people if, you know, just let them describe to you their personal preferences and then you give them a choice, no pun intended. So
most grocers are going to make a big choice for the consumer, and that is they're going to put the high-end mill meat, something you're going to have a better eating experience in the grass-fed side. They're going to offer that to the customer as a whole steak, but all those roast type items and those marginal feet, they're grinding that and selling that as grass-fed ground beef, because that is truly the way to eat grass-fed. That's the best manner in which you're going to be able to consume that and not have to chew it for the rest of the afternoon.
Okay, so what's Will Homer's favorite? And I know the answer, but I'm gonna make you say it over the radio.
I don't eat the grass-fed ground beef because I don't like to chew on it. That simple. Sorry.
And that's all right. It's your product, so it's okay. I do make a joke when I go into grocery stores and stuff, or if I'm doing promotions, when people will say it's got to be grass fed, and I've actually stopped people and kind of, you know, put my arm around their shoulder and say, "Do you know of any beef that's not grass fed? I mean, you know, excluding like veal, and they don't sell much veal anymore, at least around here, but." And they kind of look at you like you're from Mars, you know? But
but really, Jeff, we need to remind your followers and consumers and whatnot, there is a big dairy industry, and that's a lot of those old dairy cows go right into the lot of hamburger we eat out there. And there's no way a dairy cow's had a grass background. There's some in the valley have some grass pasture they get out on. That's great, but that's not how they're surviving.
Right. No, I understand that. I'm just thinking of, you know, growing up being a calf, being born, and until they get put into a program, whether they're a dairy cow or whatever, they got to eat some grass. But again, that's a good point to bring up the quality. When you go to a major chain store, you will see there will be some that'll be choice and some that'll be select and some that'll be with a question mark on it.
Yep.
Okay. Will Homer, I know you're busy. You're actually at a baseball game there for your son. And if anybody's ever been to Fossil, they know they got to drive places to get stuff done. And so thanks for being with us today, Will. I appreciate it, bud.
No sweat. Thank you.
Okay, take care. We're going to be back with Brett Huddleston in just a couple minutes here on The Nation. Don't go away.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with David Shurtleff, and we welcome Brent Huddleston back to the show. Before we talk to Brent here, I want to say you can email us at Barbecue Nation, that's bbqnation@kxl.com, or at recipes@kxl.com. David, our Facebook?
Barbecue Nation with JT. Swing by, same thing there. We post recipes. We post the podcast after the show is aired and articles throughout the week. Swing by and give us a like.
There you go. Hello to a couple of affiliates on this great 4th of July weekend, KWRO in Coos Bay and KWVR. I had too much apple pie at the break or something there. And Enterprise, thanks for listening, and thanks to all our affiliates down the Radio Northwest Network. Our music selection today, of course, I usually pick all the music out on this, but I just thought it was good, like Toby Keith, a good ass-kicking, you know, red, white, and blue 4th of July song. So I like that. Anyway, Brent, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, JT, how's it going?
It's going good. So you were here in the studio when we talked to Will. You've been on the other. You're the guy in between Will Homer and the consumer.
Yes.
You're the guy behind the meat counter.
Yes.
And I'm sure, like anybody that's worked in retail, you have seen many, many things and heard many, many things.
I could write a book
from consumers. You probably should. First of all, your recommendations when somebody's coming to look at grind, i.e., that's the inside talk for hamburger. And what should they be looking for, and what do you recommend?
You know, personally for me, one of the first questions I have is, how many times has this been ground? And I don't mean are they re-grinding their product. What I used to do and what gives a great grind is if you grind it through the grinder once, okay, that's chopping that meat the first time. Put it back in the grinder, grind it through a second time, that blends it. And so you have a better distribution of your fat through your burger. Ideally, you know, an 80-20 is perfect for a burger, and that is going to give you a lot of fat, but that's going to burn off, like Will said.
Now, when you're, I mean, you can buy prefab burgers. That's easy enough to do. Mm-hmm. You can buy them from Painted Hills in the grocery stores, or you can do that. But a lot of people, and I'm one of them, like to make their own patty.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a cool thing. Some of them have those old wooden patty presses, you know, with a rooster painted on the front of it, and you put some wax paper in it and do that and squish it down. And they're not perfect burgers. They're not perfectly symmetrical or circular, but they're good. One of the things, though, that I've noticed is people tend to make them thin on the edges, fat on the inside,
yep.
And that's where the pink comes in that people tend to freak out about sometimes.
Yeah. Ideally, you want to get your burger and separate it accordingly. You know, and you want a 3/4-inch patty all the way through, nice and rounded on the ends. Make a little well in the middle of your patty, and that helps it to keep from plumping out.
Well, those would be that 3/4-inch patty would be equivalent to basically a 3-to-1 or a 2-to-1.
Yeah, yeah.
Meaning that many patties
or
to make
a slider for you and I.
Or a slider, yes. Yeah. And David's into sliders. I know that.
You know, one of the things that I see people doing that is a real great hint when you're making your patties is don't overwork your hamburger. Don't sit there and toss it around and mix it up. You know, just make your patty, If you overwork that meat, it's going to get tough. It's not going to be a good burger.
Some people tend to do it like they're making pizza dough.
Boom,
ba boom, ba boom, squish, squish. The only time I ever actually kind of need that is if I'm making a meatloaf.
Yes.
You know, I put my seasoning in there and I put some eggs and a little stuff in it, you know, check out my recipes online. But point is that's the only time I ever get in there and do it. If I'm making my own patty, I just kind of take a scoop of, you know, whatever grind I've got and put it in the press, and I'll do that myself. And then I kind of put my fingers around the edges in a, you know, a C-section type thing and push the patty back into like where you're saying. It's more like 3/4 inch
yeah.
thick or 1/2 inch thick, whatever I'm doing that day, and make it more even. David, you have a question there?
Yeah, I was wondering about cooking temps. I like my burger pretty rare. How do I trust myself to do that at home?
Thermometer.
Thermometer.
You want a thermometer. And you know, a medium burger is about 155 degrees, and that's from foodsafety.gov.
Right.
155, 160. Medium rare, you know, you're taking your life in your own hands. That or a residency in a particular room in your house.
Yeah.
You know, but right around 3-4 minutes aside for a medium rare burger, 4 to 5 minutes aside on a regular burger on medium heat.
And don't press down on it.
No. Oh, Lord. That's how you get a lot of fires.
Yeah, you get fires if you're doing that, but also you're just squishing the flavor out of it, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've done a lot of work. You've done some prep work. You've got seasoning in it. You've got all this. I'll mix some Worcestershire in it and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to do is fine.
Yeah.
But then I see it. Even my friends, I go to my friend's house that, you know, I've been cooking for them for 20 years, and I watch them, and they put that spatula down on top of it. And I just
take the spatula away.
Take it away. Go to your room. You know, say 15 Hail Marys or 20 Hail Jeffies or something, you know, and get rid of that.
You know, and one of the other things I see, you know, when we're on the subject of burgers and flare-ups is a lot of people take a spray oil and spray it on where that barbecue's going. That's another way you're going to flare that up. What you want to do is take a paper towel, wet it down with some canola oil, and take your tongs and wipe it on the grill and then put your burger on. That'll keep it from flaring up.
Maybe we need to write a book about remedial grilling. Something like that. Yeah. No, it's you know, it's all good. It's really simple.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, David, though. I like mine a little more pink. Not bloody red like I would a steak sometimes, but just a little pink in there. So, you know, that's all good. When we come back from our next break, we're going to talk about the bigger, harder cuts of meat. You know, steaks, chops, and those things. And because we're going to try to give you all the information you need to not ruin the 4th of July barbecue. And if you do ruin it, I don't want to hear about it, okay? We're going to take off. We're going to be back in a minute here on Barbecue Nation on the Radio Northwest Network. Please stay with us. As soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list and a statue.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101. Daddy left the
proof on her cheek. Hey, Martina McBride here on The Nation. Welcome back. We've got Brett Helson with us today, along with David Sherloff. And I'll have to tell you, I won't tell you the story on the air today, but Martina McBride, Al McCutcheon here at Alpha, and I used to do rodeo dances and concerts and stuff. And we were doing one, and Martina was just a kind of the starving artist. She came and sang a set with the rodeo band we had. That was a long time ago, but she was just a newbie. Nobody knew her, and that was kind of cool. Anyway, welcome back. We're talking barbecue today. A little thing I learned at the break, don't dip your white bread in the blood drippings of a steak. That freaks people out. Isn't that right, David?
Yes.
Don't do that. It doesn't bother me because I told them the weirder stuff that I did. Anyway, Brent, in all your experience, you know, we've talked about this a number of times on the show, but let's take it a bit further here. You're going to select the steaks for your barbecue on the 4th of July, okay? And you've got a dedicated employee behind the meat counter that says here, or you can get the ones that are prepackaged, all that. And we've always said when you look for them, you know, look for the marbling. One of the problems that people have, especially if they are not used to grilling a lot, is how thick do they get them and how long do they cook them? What sort of test should they do? Do they do the finger test? Do they do the, you know, use a thermometer? I've got my own special way of doing it, which kind of keeps all the juice in and stuff, but I want to hear your version.
Well, a little secret is when you're grilling a steak, you're going to want to grill a sirloin end. So your ribeyes, your New Yorks, your T-bones, your tenderloins, top sirloin, never less than an inch. You can do that, but it kind of defeats the purpose, and you end up with a rubbery steak.
Mm-hmm.
So right about an inch thick on all those. You're going to get those over the counter. I know we used to cut them an inch over the for the counter, and then over on the side it would be about 3/4 of an inch. But ideally you'd want to get those over the counter so they're cut to grill. I like to use, ideally, a thermometer. But if you don't have a thermometer, I usually do the test where you touch the meat to the palm of your hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the upper, the lower part of your thumb and up, all the way up to your upper part of your thumb on how tender that is. And
explain that to people,
Well, you're looking at a more of a medium steak, the lower on your palm you go, so at the base of your thumb, and you work your way up to the middle part of that heel on the palm of your hand is up towards the thumb, is more of like a medium rare, and then rare would be up closer to your thumb area.
So if you press it and it still goes, then you know it's not quite done yet.
Yeah, let it finish in the field.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what I always use. I have been told I have this sixth sense where I can just, you know, look at a steak and know when it's done. But you never want to rely on that, you know. But ideally, your thermometer is the best way to do that. You know, cook it to right about 140, 145 degrees with about a 2-3 minute resting period.
Now, here's a little trick for you too. If you really know your grill and you're cooking, let's say you're cooking a half a dozen to 10 steaks. Okay, at one time, because everybody wants mm-hmm. to sit down and eat together. The first steak you put on should be your steak, the person that's doing the cooking. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because with that one, you can touch it, poke it, prod it as you wish. You can also season it if you have a special way you like it, if you like more pepper, garlic, salt, or whatever you're using. But the other thing is you can actually cut into that steak because it's your steak.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can kind of cut in there and just take a quick peek if you're not sure. Now, we don't have to do that anymore, but a lot of people don't do it enough to have that confidence to do it. Then you can also kind of know on your grill if you've got hot spots, like my new Black Holly pellet grill, you know, it really doesn't have hot spots on it, so it's really good for that because it's all even, and of course it's a dome, it's a ceramic dome. And my Weber gas grill is very good. It doesn't have hot spots on it yet. You know, sometimes gas grills get them mm-hmm. after, you know, several years of use or what have you. But back to the steaks, you know that you put this steak on, that's yours. You're putting 5 or 6 or 8 more steaks on your grill at the same time. But by the time you actually do that, it's not the same time. You've got probably a 2-minute lapse in time to do that because you're going to put them on your grill. You're going to adjust them right to where you want them. You're going to do, you know, you're going to season them some more and do those things. So there's always that lag time in there. So just be cognizant of that is what I like to tell people because, like I said, that first steak can be yours, personal steak, because you can kind of you know, mushing around. And if you're a proper griller or chef, that steak is probably the better cut one of the whole lot. And so you're a little more cautious or aggressive or whatever in how it's prepared and how it's cooked. Those are my thoughts. David?
Yeah.
You're asleep over there?
Yep.
Okay.
You just busted me.
I busted him. He's out of here. But anyway, yeah, and it's the same thing with like pork chops or
yes.
or any piece of meat. You've got to, you know, I don't think people realize that. It's like, well, I threw all these steaks, or especially with burgers because they're thinner, on at the same time. No, you didn't. There's a lag time in there.
Yeah.
And when you get into a large group of people, like a lot of us will have on the 4th of July of, you know, anywhere from, say, 8 to 10 on up to 25 people, and they all kind of want to eat at a very similar time,
mm-hmm.
you've got to take that into consideration. The other thing I look at, and then I'm going to let you tear into this, they say, you know, only turn it once. Only turn your meat once. There's a reason for saying that and stuff. But if you have people that actually like their meat more well done, or shoe leather, as we like to call it, then I don't have a problem with turning that steak over more than once for them to make sure that it's absolutely the driest piece of stuff that I can present to them. But that's what they want.
Yeah.
Okay? Your turn.
My turn. You know, and with that is you're throwing everything on the grill. Going back to that, you got to keep in mind that things cook at a different temperature.
Yeah.
You know, your chicken will cook differently than your beef will. Seafood, vegetables. All those things cook differently than when if you're throwing a burger on there and then throwing a steak on there. I mean, that steak's going to take, if it is cut an inch thick, you know, right about 5 minutes aside for a nice medium rare.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, something to keep in mind as well.
Let's talk chicken, okay? Personally, I think we're kind of, to me, 4th of July should always be about burgers and dogs.
Yeah.
And, but yes, you can do chicken because some friends of ours that we usually have 4th of July with, they eat a lot of chicken. I think it's the wife more than the husband. I think he'd just as soon eat, you know, a ribeye every night. But same thing with cooking chicken, like you were saying. I tend to, like with my chicken legs, I'll actually cook them on the bottom. If it's on a gas grill, I'll kind of, if you will, sear them a bit. And then I put them on the top rack in the top of the gas grill. They cook some really nice up there, and they can get nice and crispy and all that.
I think cooking chicken on the grill is scares a lot of people because it can be so, I guess for lack of a better word, is delicate.
Yes.
But I agree with you 100%. You put that chicken, especially if it's bone in, skin on, put it on the bottom part of the grill, get a nice sear on it, and then move it to that top part of the grill, and then turn your grill down and keep your door closed and let it cook. Let it act like an oven. Let your grill act like an oven. And you want to cook that to right about 165 degrees.
Right.
Unless you're doing boneless, skinless breast, then it's going to be fast and hot.
Yeah, like you said, you know, it's intimidating. I mean, sometimes I get the feeling that some people, you know, doing barbecue is like cub bears picking mouse poop out of black pepper with boxing gloves on. It's a difficult task for them, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are scared to get food poisoning, and that's why you really need your thermometer.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
You do. You can't just you know, bite into it and have it squirting blood at you or something like that. That's a bad deal. Hey, we're going to take a last break and come into the wrap up this show here on our 4th of July weekend on Barbecue Nation with Brent. And what is your name again? Oh, yes, David. We'll be right back.
But Mama was proud and she stood her ground. She knew she was on the loser.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Oh, yeah, Linda Ronstadt here on Barbecue Nation on this 4th of July weekend. I hope you're having a ball out there. I am. I really am. I always have fun on the 4th of July. We've got Brett Huddleston with us, friend of the show, friend of mine for a number of years now. Work with him in catering and eventing and different things, professional meat cutter. And soon to make some turns in his career, we hope. And also we've got David Shurtleff with us here in the studio again today. We were talking about chicken in the last segment. I think it is important that people cook the chicken well. And again, a little practice makes perfect. You can season it as you wish. The one thing about chicken, you've got a lot of fat in that skin. And then if you do go to basting it or glazing it with some sauces, that's going to give your propensity to burn faster. Even if it's at the top rack of your grill in the oven, using it as an oven style like that. So you've got to be careful of those things. A lot of sugar in those sauces. We had Jamie Proviance on here a couple weeks ago, and he was saying, if I asked him if there was one thing he could change, about barbecue, and he said, yeah, the sauces, there's too much sugar in them.
Mm-hmm.
Makes them burn too easy and too quick. And that's true. You can, you can make your own, I guess, but you can start with a bottle of brown and go from there. And you can cut it down, though, with some things that still keep a nice flavor in it, like that.
Yeah, cut it down a little bit of acidity, vinegar. And the other thing is with like putting a glaze or something on chicken is don't do it at the very beginning. Let the chicken cook, and maybe about 5 minutes before you pull it off the grill, that's when you throw that barbecue sauce on there or whatever.
Yeah, and that's the other reason, I guess, where I'm not afraid to turn something more than once. If you put a glaze on it, I will flip it for just a minute or so and flip it back, mm-hmm. and that will kind of caramelize that glaze and make it stick to the chicken or pork chop or whatever you're doing, the ribs. And but you have to pay attention, and you can't just do it and walk off, because then you have a mess. You then have charcoal chicken or better, like that. Same thing with pork ribs. What's your recommendation for the weekend?
Pork ribs, first thing is pull off that silver skin off the back end. Don't ever, ever boil your ribs. And then, what I like to do is personally, I roll mine in mustard, just regular French's mustard, season it, wrap it in foil, and put it on there right about 200, 225, and let the magic happen.
And you're using a pellet grill on that?
I mean, I use a pellet grill on those, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't used my gas grill. I use those mostly for steaks and burgers and, seafood or something like that. Vegetables.
I like using a gas grill to finish things sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got something in a smoker, and now I don't have to with the black olive machine that I have, but still it's you can do some smoking, and then Steve Reichling likes to call it reverse searing and that. So anyway, we can do that. Well, it's time for us to go today, and this is normally in the part of the show where I tell you what's on next week's show. And so we're going to be talking about cooking some whole hogs. That'll be fun. But what I really want to do is I want to say goodbye and good luck to my old friend David here. He's moved on to greener pastures. He's got another job outside of the radio business, and we will miss him around here, Alpha, and especially on Barbecue Nation. He's done a great job since he's been working with me, and it's been good, and I appreciate it, and I wish you a lot of luck, my friend.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I've had a lot of fun, too. I've learned a lot about barbecue. I've been doing a little experimenting at home, and I will keep in touch and let you know how my experiments are going.
I hope so. Also like to thank Brent for being with us, Brent Huddleston.
My pleasure.
It's always good to see you. And next week, like I said, we will be talking about cooking whole hogs from Tennessee. By golly, we'll just put that peg in the ground and see what happens. I can just hear it now. That's going to be fun. We've got McGarian on deck and Bushlack bringing up the end of the lifestyle programming today. So remember, folks, for all of us here at Barbecue Nation, please turn it, don't burn it. Check out thecowboycook.com, and we will see you next week. We'll leave you with a little Linda. We're going back out to the USA. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Happy 4th of July.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is produced and tolerated by David Shurtleff in Production Compound 4 High Above the Skyline of PDX. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.